In our reading from the book of Numbers, the Lord takes Moses up to Mount Abarim, and there he shows Moses the promised land which the Israelites are to enter. But the Lord explains to Moses that he won't be entering the promised land with the Israelites because of his previous sin and disobedience to the Lord. And like his brother Aaron, who also disobeyed God, Moses will die before entering the promised land. Now, Moses answers the Lord by asking the Lord to appoint his successor. For Moses doesn't want the people of Israel to be like sheep without a shepherd. He wants them to have someone to lead them and care for them. And so the Lord says to Moses that his successor should be Joshua, who possesses the Lord's spirit. And the Lord says to Moses that he should give some of his authority to Joshua and commission him to be the leader of the Israelites. Joshua should also consult the priest Eleazar to find out God's will. And we're told that Moses obeys the Lord God, commissions Joshua as his successor, and so the leadership role passes on to Joshua. In this reading, we see Moses as a humble, caring, and obedient man. Obedient, that is, to the Lord God. And looking at this passage, I want to highlight three things which stand out about Moses. Firstly, Moses doesn't have any self-pity. Think of what Moses had done. We begin with God's call to Moses to lead the Israelites out of their slavery in Egypt and to lead them through the wilderness and to the promised land. And Moses begins by negotiating the Israelites' freedom from Egypt. It's Moses who speaks to the Egyptian king or Pharaoh. And then when the Pharaoh refuses to release the Israelites, Moses sees how God afflicts the Egyptians with the plagues, eventually persuading the Pharaoh to release the Israelites. Moses then leads the Israelites out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and into the wilderness. He also sees how the Lord God brings the Red Sea back to cover the pursuing Egyptian army and so kill the Egyptian soldiers. Moses then receives the Ten Commandments from God on Mount Sinai and leads a sometimes fractious people of Israel through the wilderness to the borders of the promised land. And so there's Moses on the edge of the promised land, and near the fulfillment of his goal to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And then, right at the end, the Lord God says to him, "No, you're not going to lead the Israelites into the promised land. It's going to be someone else. It's going to be Joshua." Now, Moses could well have felt self-pity, resentment, bitterness, and anger. But none of this comes out in the readings. Now, without doubt, Moses would have been very hurt and felt a sense of loss. But there's no self-pity. There's no bitterness there. In our own lives, there will be times when we experience failure, sorrow, tragedy. And the temptation will be to be self-pitying, to feel some sort of bitterness about it. Maybe we lose our job, or we fall seriously ill, or maybe a loving relationship breaks down. Isn't the temptation to be self-pitying? Of course we're going to feel a deep sense of loss and hurt. But like Moses, we should try and avoid feeling self-pity and bitterness. Before I entered the ministry, I worked for the civil service, and I can remember someone I worked with, whom I got on well with, inviting me to his home for a meal. And I had a very nice meal with him and his wife. And he told me about how he felt that the civil service had continually overlooked him for promotion. They'd not recognised his abilities and rewarded his work. And he seemed to be very bitter about it and self-pitying. And it seemed such a shame, because he was basically a very kind and caring person. And so, like Moses, it's very important to avoid self-pity. Something else that comes out of this reading, a second thing, is that Moses appears a very caring person. When the Lord God tells him that it isn't he who is to lead the Israelites into the promised land, Moses doesn't come across as someone whose prime concern is for himself, his own welfare, status, and self-fulfillment. Rather, he's concerned about the Israelites and their welfare. What he wants the Lord God to do is to provide a new leader and carer for the Israelites, so that they won't be like a sheep without a shepherd. Moses' primary care is for the people of Israel. In our reading from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is shown to be someone who cares greatly for the people. We are told that he went around all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogue and announcing the good news of the kingdom and curing all the people of their ailments and diseases. The sight of the people moved him to pity, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless. When Jesus rose from the dead, there's a story of him taking the disciple Peter aside and commissioning Peter to care for the Christian fellowship. He asks Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And three times Peter replies, "Yes." And three times Jesus says to Peter, "Then feed my sheep." Jesus' concern is that Peter should tend, feed, and look after the Christian community. A few years ago, I went on a touring holiday of Turkey, and we had a very good courier. He told us about the history, politics, lifestyle, and religion of the Turkish people. But he also told us several important practical things. He said, "Only drink bottled water. Tap water might upset your stomach. If you use a public toilet, tip the attendant. The attendants are used to receiving tips, and they keep the toilets clean." And he said, "You can barter with stall holders and street vendors, but when you go into a shop to buy something, don't barter with the shopkeeper." Our courier was like a shepherd looking after his sheep, and he enabled us to have an enjoyable holiday in a foreign country among people who spoke a different language and had a different culture. Moses was concerned that the Lord God would provide for the people of Israel a new shepherd, a new leader to care for the Israelites. Thirdly, in our reading from the book of Numbers, we see that Moses obeys the Lord. The Lord says to him that because of his disobedience in the wilderness of Zin, Moses won't be leading the Israelites into the promised land. Instead, Moses is to appoint his successor, Joshua. And we are told that Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And so we see that Moses was very humble. His thoughts were not for himself, but rather his thoughts were for the people of Israel. And as far as he was concerned, he needed to do God's will. When we turn to the New Testament, we see exactly the same attitude in Jesus. Jesus was facing imminent arrest, trial, and crucifixion. And so he went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray about what faced him. Jesus didn't want to suffer and die. In fact, his heart was filled with grief, anguish, dismay, and horror. But above all else, Jesus knew that he had to obey God's will. And so he prays, "Yet not my will be done, but thy will be done. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches his followers to pray, "Thy will be done." The most important thing for the Christian is doing the will of God and bringing our wills into line with God's will. And so, how can we know God's will? Moses found out about this by talking to God and listening to God. We call this prayer. But effective prayer isn't always easy. It involves time, listening, spiritual wrestling, doing God's will, and feeling an inner peace about doing God's will. And we need to remember that doing what God wants us to do may be in accordance with, but it may be contrary to our natural inclinations and to our material benefit. In our reading from the book of Numbers, we see three things about Moses, and they're interwoven. Moses didn't indulge in self-pity. He cared for others, and he obeyed God's will. Amen.